you would do that, we'll be in great shape going forward. For you, the newcomer, we are going through what we're calling Class 101, discovering commitment. Commitment to what, you may ask. And that is commitment to Jesus Christ and to his bride, the church, and specifically to this church. This is what is going to be in our future, our new members class. So we want you to be able to at least join us this morning in understanding where we are. We're in session 5, and we're looking at the structure of the Granada Hills Community Church. We are similar, yet we are very different than many American, Western-thinking churches because we want to be a church that is biblical. Now, understanding we have to render under Caesar what is Caesar's, and then under Christ what is Christ's. And by that I mean this. In the state of California, GHCC has to be incorporated as a 503c, anyway, an organization that is a nonprofit. And so we're giving Caesar that. But in the day-to-day and week-to-week running of the Granada Hills Community Church, our structure is biblical. We are moving more and more to cross our T's and dot our I's according to the Word of God. We want to get away from man-made things to following the things that God has given us very clearly in this marvelous volume, which is his word breathed out, his actual thoughts. It is his mind given to us, and it is authoritative and without error. So this is where we're going as a church. Last time we learned that the church, biblically, is a fellowship. And within the fellowship, you need to have unity and harmony. Because if you don't have unity and harmony, you don't have a fellowship. And if you don't have a fellowship, then you don't have a church. So we looked at Scripture, and we found that to be the case. Second of all, we found that the church is a family. And I really like that term. And we looked at the Scripture that describes us as such. We have the Father. We have God the Father, who is the head of this church through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to love each other as Christ loved us. We are to, as we see in the book of Romans, we are in chapter 8, we are to be running headlong, pursuing how we can honor one another more so than the person next to us. If there's anything we're to do, we're to love the person next to you more than they can try, at least, to love you. This is our goal. We are to honor them. This is what the Scripture says. We are to pursue this with all of our might, because this is exactly what we see in Christ, and he has asked us to do the very same thing. So not only are we biblically to be a fellowship and biblically to be a family, but third, we found last week where we were almost finishing up, and that is we are a body. Biblically, the church of Christ is a body. It is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. There are different terms, but we are all parts of that body. When we were born again, we received certain spiritual gifts, and we are to use those to employ them in coming alongside each other to accomplish the vision, the mission, the core values of this church family. This is what we have been called to as a body of Christ. And then I concluded last time by our looking at, because it wasn't in our message notes, and that is Matthew's Gospel chapter 25. Because there we find about verse 34 through the end of the chapter, Jesus is talking about himself. He said, if you'll recall, over here in verse 35, he says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He's using these illustrations and saying that when you did these things to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And that has revolutionized my own thinking and my own presence with other people. Because the context, as you'll recall, is the great white throne judgment. And Jesus has separated the sheep, the people who are his, from the goats, the people who are not his. They may think that they were his, but they never were. They're the tares. They're not the wheat. They're the sheep. And this is the context. We are getting ready for judgment. And he says to those of us who are of his flock, he said, when you did these things, when you fed the hungry, when you gave drink to the poor, when you clothed those who didn't have clothing, you were doing it to me. And as I have been in the hospital and one of our own not having had a sitz bath for quite some time, they asked if I might wipe their brow, and I got a wash rag and I began to wash their face and their neck and their hands and so forth. And in doing that, there was a whole new opening of my mind and my spiritual heart that I'm washing the face of my Lord Jesus Christ, because he says here that spiritually you're doing it to me. When you fed me, when you clothed me, when you gave me drink, when you came and visited me when I'm sick, if you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And as we look at each other, it gives us this whole new way of looking at one another. It's not, oh, gee, I have to go do that for Seidel. You know, gee, what a creep he is. You know, you can look and you can say, even though I am not him, I have a spirit, but you know, I'm doing this for my Lord Jesus. He is made in the image of God. You understand the change that can come to one's mind as they understand what's going on here in chapter 25 of Matthew? I've read that so many times, and it just didn't pop. I love the Spirit of God making this marvelous volume come to life each day in a new way, even reading same passages of Scripture. Marvelous, wonderful. 58 times in the New Testament, it says, love one another. Seek the other person's best and greatest good at your expense. Love one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. 58 times. He only needs to say it once. But we need to get that. This church family does this wonderfully. But as Paul would tell us in various passages of Scripture, we need to continue to excel. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, we are living out the things that he's teaching us. It becomes real. It doesn't stay on the printed page. It doesn't stay on the message notes. It doesn't get thrown away with the message notes. It is that which we go to, and we go to it again and again, and we live it out. We don't have to see it so much here in the wonderful Bible. As we are living it out, it becomes part and parcel with who we are in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is within us, and he wants us to live this wonderful grace, his wonderful faith out that he has put within us. The church is not a business, but a body. The living body of Jesus Christ. It's not an organization, but it is an organism. Again, it's dynamic. It's alive. It is a family, and it is a fellowship. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. You see it there in your notes? Okay, you know the drill. When we read Scripture, we read it with strength in our voices. So let's read it aloud together. God gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Again, we're looking at the structure of Christ's church, and we're looking at the structure of our church here that is Christ's. It's not my job, as you can read that passage, as your pastor, to be doing all these different works of ministry. It's the pastor's job to help you do the works of ministry, to teach you, to train you with the other pastors in the church and leaders. This is my job. Ministry in this context is your job. So look at our structure here. Two sentences that talk about our structure at GECC. First, the people are the ministers. The people are the ministers, and the pastors, the leaders, are the administrators. The pastors and elders do much of the maintenance in terms of the work of the ministry of the church so that you can go out and do the ministry of the church. If you look at your notes, currently there are six different core value teams doing many of the different ministries in our church, begun and operated by members. And any member can start a new ministry in these core value teams so long as they follow a few simple rules. I shared this with you last week. I said, first of all, we have to be doctrinally correct. Second of all, we need to be biblically moral. And third of all, you don't come and ask me for money. You remembered that part. I'd like someday to have a whole pile of money to be able to say, yeah, here it is. Go and do it. I can remember years ago, a man coming to me and saying, Ron, I believe we need to have a more overt, outward outreach of Granada Hills Community Church. And I looked at him and I said, I'm with you, brother. Do it. He looked at me, big wide eyes, and now he's in the full-time ministry of taking the Word of God to people all over the place. He's been thrown in jail a couple of times too, sharing the gospel. Someone else came to me and he said, Ron, you know, our shepherd groups are fine, but I want to start a shepherd group, if it's okay with you and the elders, that will be more accountable. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've been in a couple of shepherd groups, and it's wonderful. We come together, we fellowship, we pray. But, you know, so many of them don't show up except, you know, kind of like church every once in a while. And when they do show up, they haven't prepared for the lesson. They haven't read the lesson. They're not ready to discuss the lesson. They haven't been living the lesson from the week before. And I think that I want to start one that holds people more accountable, like I think the Lord did with the apostles. And I said, okay, fine, do it. You see, the nice thing about in a church where you don't have to vote on everything, that you can just simply, you know, like join the church one day, and then the next day you can almost the next day be able to start a ministry. You need to come and talk, and we see where this thing goes. And at a low level, you can get involved in ministry right away, because I have to make sure I haven't just met a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, you can understand. I have to be careful. The leadership needs to be discerning. And then you get released, you and the Holy Spirit, to go do what the Holy Spirit is here for, and that is to enable us to tell the world about Christ. More importantly, let's bring it down to where it is, individuals, individual people. So, we're a body, we're a family, and we're a fellowship. Number four, the church is a flock, a flock. That was Jesus' favorite description of his church. He calls them his little flock. Look at Matthew 25, 33. You'll remember this from next week, or last week, not next week. Let's read this aloud together. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Circle the word sheep. He will place the sheep. This is his flock. This is his bride. This is his church. This is his fellowship. This is his family. In John 10, verses 27 and 28, let's read this aloud together. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, that's pregnant with all kinds of theology, but all I'm wanting to pull out here is he's talking about here, my sheep hear my voice. My family hear me. Those people who have received me as their Lord and Savior, who have become the children of God, they hear my voice. They're my sheep. And if the church is a flock, then the implication is this. Look at your notes. Therefore, it is to be cared for. It is to be led by a shepherd. And that's plural, not singular. Have you ever seen a flock of sheep that were led by a committee? No, of course not. Have you ever seen a flock of sheep, you know, out in the field all gathered together and they're going to vote on something, you know, what are we going to do tomorrow? No, you don't see that happening. Flocks are led by shepherds. What do shepherds do? Well, shepherd is just another word for pastor. Shepherds lead and shepherds feed. Let me say that again. Shepherds lead and shepherds feed. The feeders are the leaders. That's what the New Testament teaches. Now, I don't want to just say, you know, those are the new words added to the old words so that we have this volume of Old Testament, New Testament. No, this is the Word of God. This is the words of life. This has been translated as it was breathed out in the original autographa and given to us. This is what's on his head or in his head and heart. And so this is what he is telling us. Write this down, John 15 through 17. There you will find these words. Jesus is talking to Peter, tend and feed. And I'm going to unpack a little bit of that right here in John 21, 16 through 17. It says here, Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you really agape me? Are you really seeking my best and greater good, Peter? Yes, Lord, said Peter. And he said, then take care of my sheep. Literally, he is saying here, tend. Tend to my lambs. A very tender statement here. Circle the words there, take care. Take care. Do you know what the Greek term is for those two English words? Probably not. It's the word pastor. It is the word poimen. The term here is poimeno. The word is poimen. Jesus is saying, you are to shepherd my sheep. You are to take care of my lambs. I am entrusting them to you to care for them. Pastor means someone who takes care of others along with feeding and leading them. So the Bible has three different terms, as you look at your notes, used to refer to the same church leaders. Number one, the first one is what I just told you. It's poimen. Would you say that out loud with me? Poimen. The word means pastor or shepherd. It refers, as I just said, to the feeding, the leading, and the caring aspect of this individual or individual's ministry. The second word is presbyteros. Say that with me. Presbyteros, and it means elder. What denomination can you think of that uses a portion of this term in the description of their denomination? Right. The Episcopalian, or excuse me, Presbyterians. That'll be next. I just gave it away. And Presbyterians call their leaders elders. An elder does not necessarily mean that he's old and decrepit like the person who stands before you. Now, it could mean that, but what we're talking about is that he is older and mature in the Word of God. He has been a Christian for a good period of time and understands our Lord more than the average bear, and is a teacher within the church. Timothy was a young man, and most commentators believe he was in his 40s, and they even consider someone my age to be young as a pastor. But in biblical terms, I'm still a young man, even though I came to faith in Christ, as I was adding it up this week, 47 years ago. Wow. That's longer than so many of you are old. But at any rate, the third word that refers to this same person or persons within the church is episkopos. Let's say that word together. Episkopos. And it means overseer or bishop. From what denomination do we hear this word? Yeah, Episcopalians. And in the Episcopal Church and many of the mainline churches, as well as the Roman Catholic Church, you have bishops. But our Lord never intended, you will not find anywhere in his word, a hierarchy of people who are the pastors of his church. Nowhere in the scripture will you find a pope. The vicar of Christ on earth is none other than the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, not a man in the Vatican. We have cardinals, but there's nowhere in the Word of God a cardinal. Then we have bishops, archbishops, all kinds of different bishops, and they're not here in the Word of God. Man decided, beginning in about the 3rd century AD, that we're taken over. You know, Lord, you can't do it right, we're going to do it right. I don't know what their real impetus was, but nonetheless, all of a sudden, we don't have just the pastors, the pastor teachers. Now we have these guys that are going to be bishops, and we have these guys that are going to be cardinals, and we're going to have this guy that's going to be a pope, and we have these bishops divided up and being different kinds of bishops, but they're not in the Word of God, none of them. So we steer away from that. Now, in our own movement, a person that would have been like a bishop, if you will, is whom many of you have met, and that is Mike Livingston, my regional superintendent. In other denominations, he would be called bishop. But we don't observe such things because they're not biblical. He happens to be a pastor who is over some almost 100 other pastors in what we call the Western region of our movement. So this is what we hear. So once again, these three words all apply to the same person or leaders in a church. The pastor is an elder and an overseer. It just has to do with the different phases of his job description. Pastor is the caring part of the job description. Elder is the spiritual maturity part of the job description. And then we have the overseer, and that's the person who is overseeing the church or persons. Now look with me at a couple of verses. Look with me over here at 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's read this aloud together, okay? Let's read it with strength now. To the elders, I say, be shepherds, God's flock, serving as overseers. Now let me walk you through this in the Greek. To the elders, that is presbyteros, I say, be shepherds. That's poimen, and that should be an N at the end of poimen, of God's flock, serving as overseers, which is episkopos. All three terms, one passage of Scripture, same person. Luke says the same thing in Acts 20, in verses 17 and 28. He says, Paul sent to the Ephesian, sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, the presbyteros in the Greek text. When they arrived, he said to them, guard yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, episkopos. Be, in other words, care for, be pastors, be poimeno of the church of God. So once again, these shepherds have all come in who are elders as well as bishops, if you will. You can read in Titus and 1 Timothy, those passages that I've listed there, the same thing. So you may be asking, what should we call you then, Ron? Just don't call me what some of you have thought about calling me, at least out loud. But the Lord heard you. Look, you remember David Martinson, one of our former associate pastors? David used to always greet my wife when she came on campus into the office, and he would call her Reverend Mother. And then when he would see me, I would be the Reverend Father. If he wasn't saying, look what the cat drug in. So, don't call me Reverend, please. That's a hot button for me. Don't press it. I don't like being called Reverend. And it's my baggage. It's my problem. Mike Livingston, our regional superintendent. Mike is the Reverend Michael Livingston. And I have no problem with the Reverend Michael Livingston, his having that title. If you look in our directory of the movement, of our movement, you'll see there is the Reverend Ronald Seidel. I can't help it. It's a matter of once you're ordained, you become a reverend. Prior to that, you're called a pastor because you're only licensed. So I like, if I have to have a title at all, then call me pastor. But my name is Ron. Okay? My name is Ron. You know, there used to be a guy that used to be on television and say, you can call me Ray, you can call me Hey, you remember? You know? It doesn't matter what you call me. Just don't call me Reverend. The only person in my, I hope it's a humble opinion, is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are to be reverenced. I don't think there are any men, aside from the God man, that should be reverenced. And you've made that clear to me, too. So that's the structure of GHCC. Get it? Good. Good. Very quickly, our affiliation. We believe in the autonomy of each local church. When we planted New Hope in Newhall, and when we planted our church up in Castaic, when we planted our church out in Loveland, Colorado, and planted another daughter church called Pico Canyon, we didn't force them to follow us in anything except over the first 2 years because we were supervising them for the first 2 years. After that, they were on their own. So in their adoption of their structure, that's their business. The scripture tells us here in Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of his body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. Those pastors, with their leadership, they need to look to the scriptures and prayer to our Lord in the developing of their structures at that time of their births. Looking back at your notes, we believe in being part of a larger body of Christ. You see, it's important that I am not only responsible to leaders within this church, but that I am also responsible to someone who is above me. And that is the Reverend Michael Livingston. I meet with him once a month. I give a report to him, several pages, three or four pages on the church, and we discuss that those reports. Usually he's very encouraging. Sometimes he needs to admonish me because I'm being a little lax and not being, as you think I'm being hard, but he thinks I should be a little stronger with some of you at times. And I have the wonderful privilege of being an intercessor for Mike. We're both about the same age, and so he confides in me what's going on in his head and his heart, and I share with him in what's going on in our lives and pray with him. So we have a history with the Missionary Church Incorporated. You can read a little bit about that. You can go online to their website and you can see more. Obviously, I'm not perfect in all my understanding of the scripture, but there has been a war going on within Christ Church for centuries. One follows a man by the name of John Calvin. Another one follows a guy by the name of Jacob Arminius. I don't necessarily agree with everything that John Calvin has to say, nor do I agree with a large body of the things that Jacob Arminius had to say. But those theological discussions will continue on till the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, when we're all standing before the Lord, and if we even care at that point, what was the real understanding? But the missionary church was birthed in an area that would be closer to Jacob Arminius. Yet most of the shepherds out here in the western region would gravitate more towards John Calvin's theology. And I hate using men's names with regard to theology. As I heard one person say, we don't follow a man's theology, we follow the Bible. Well, I would like to say to that person lovingly, do you think that Jacob and John weren't coming away from the scripture and believing they were being biblicists? I think they both in their hearts were seeing what they thought they were seeing in scripture. So I'm not here to denigrate either man. I just know that I came to faith as an adult, and I did not come with any baggage with me, wanting the scripture to say one thing over another. I just let the scripture say what it has to say and look at it in context, and then work it through from there. So all that to say is that for the majority of this movement that we're a part of, if you go east of Colorado, then they're more in the Jacob Arminian camp, Arminius. The one that I want to call attention to is C, benefits of belonging to a denomination, because it's interesting, I'm not a denominational person. I did not come out of a denomination when I was sent here, but nonetheless, in this denomination, they have helped in the area of our being able to have at least a Christian college available to us in the event we didn't have one available to us, but it's in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It helps us with world missions. We can be a part of a larger group of people and pooling our resources to send missionaries and to keep missionaries on the field to lead people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to set up churches and eventually leave those churches in the hands of the nationals. They come in and they help to support pastors. You know, as I said, Mike meets with me monthly. He doesn't meet with all the pastors like that. I have a unique relationship with him, and we meet monthly. And he speaks words of life into my life and vice versa. And when we've had problems in the past, when we had an arson, The denomination came alongside and was helpful. When we had the earthquake, they were helpful up to a point. And likewise, when there are problems such as I have had in the past with either the elder and or his wife in sin, then I would bring the regional superintendent in to speak with them along with me before the next step of bringing them before the entire church. But because we do believe in church reconciliation through a process that the Bible calls discipline. But it's always with love in mind and always with reconciliation in mind, not with being mean and nasty and unloving through the process. So these are a benefit, at least certainly to me, of being part of the movement that we are presently a part of. Should this movement that we're a part of begin to depart from the Word of God, i.e. they begin the practice of ordaining, practicing homosexuals to the pulpit ministry, which is not to say that we don't love homosexuals any more than we love people that eat too much food, and it's a matter of sin is sin. But nonetheless, the scripture is clear that a practicing homosexual is in the midst of sin, and they should not be a pastor, an elder, a bishop in Christ's church. Yet we see that being done in many churches across America. And should this movement that we're a part of decide they want to depart from biblical understanding and go in another direction, then we will send a letter to them with a sense of sorrow and a sense at the same time, we are going to follow Christ. We're not going to follow you any longer and become reincorporated as a new entity giving Caesar what he needs. So, now what? You can join one or more of the core value teams that we have here that work out our mission in the working out of our vision. You've been here for many weeks, either here or going online and listening to the messages of what our Class 101 is all about. You understand where we're going, why we're going, where we're going, and the way we're going to get there. You understand these things now. So next week, we're going to have prepared for those of you who choose to, we're going to have an application for membership available. This will be your opportunity to formally join GHCC. And you understand why we have a formal membership here at the church. So I want to encourage you, if you have a love of teaching, you want to learn how to be a better teacher, why don't you investigate the Biblical Teaching and Training Core Value Team? If you want to come alongside and help other people, then the Authentic Love and Joyful Service Team would be a wonderful place for you if you have the gift of service and that kind of thing. If you have a real heart for missions, reaching out to people here locally as well as around the world, then I encourage you to look to the Missions Core Value Team. If you've been gifted with a sense of a wonderful voice and that's been confirmed, and not under duress by your spouse or something like that, then I want to encourage you, or you play an instrument, I want to encourage you to seek out Pastor Enoch and see if you can become part of that team. And if you love just spending lots of time with the Lord Jesus Christ in the privacy of wherever it is you go to talk to him, then I want to encourage you, if you like talking to him a lot, then we have our faithful prayer core value team. Each team has varied ministries to serve others and will help you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter 3:18, let's read this aloud together, shall we? 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we're called to. Our church family is imperfect, but our church family is so rich in the gifts of the Lord Jesus. It is so rich in the living out of these marvelous spiritual gifts that He's given us. We are so rich in those who have these special skills that God gave them when they were first born. I'm not talking about born again. They were just born with these skills. And they use them to help the brothers and the sisters around them, as well as people in the world. So you could do a whole lot worse than becoming part of the membership here. You see, it's important to be a member, because as I shared with you weeks ago, it's important that as shepherds, we know who is part of our team. I need to know who's on our roster. I need to know who I am responsible for. And I need to know who I can depend on. If I need to blow the trumpet and call in the cavalry for help, I need to know who's going to come a-running and pull my backside out of the bacon or out of the fire, whatever. I'm a bacon wrap. So that'll be next week, folks. Those applications will be available as we move into something new as we are going to be preparing for the Easter season. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I know that there is, again, as much material contained in your, what we lovingly call the Bible, that could be shared to illuminate all of these aspects that we've been looking at here in what we're calling Class 101. But thank you for the illumination of that which we have been given. And now that it's been given, Father, I pray that we won't walk away and set these message notes aside to gather dust somewhere, but that we'll return to them from time to time as we might forget what it is that you have been calling us to as the GHCC, Body of Christ. Father, I pray that your Spirit will enable us to continue to walk with each other in harmony and unity. We want so much for people to look and see that there's a church that really is devoted to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, loyal to Him, not one that uses words like that, but we can see it, I pray, Father. These people would say, we can see it because their lives are radically different. So, my Lord, may you draw us together truly as a family. May we love on each other as Jesus has manifested that love for us. May that be our goal, to grow in the administering of this supernatural love. May we treat each other with honor and pursue the helping of each other with compassionate, humble, meek hearts. May we demonstrate from time to time when we find that we've been hurt, the wonderful supernatural ability to forgive as we have been forgiven. Please, my Lord, please. And then, Father, may each of us find our place in this particular church family. May none of us be sitting in the bleachers. May every one of us be down on the playing field using the gifts you've given us to honor and glorify you and see people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and growing up in Christ to become disciples who make disciples who make disciples, Father. So my Lord, so much material, but it comes naturally to those who have your Spirit living within them. How we long to release him more and more, as it were, if we could bind him. We can't bind him, and we wouldn't if we could. We just want to please you, Father. Not earn our salvation, because that's not possible, but to demonstrate our love through obedience to what you've called us to. Father, we have an opportunity now to give to you out of the tangible gifts you've provided us. May each one of us, Father, if it is not a sacrifice, may my church family hold what they have to give you during this first worship song to you. May they not give it today if it's not a sacrifice. Father, you've made clear sacrifice is painful. So may we only give this morning if we are truly, as living sacrifices, going to give a real sacrifice to you, because that's what you deserve, because all that we have does not belong to us. It all belongs to you. And you have never said in the New Testament, all I want is 10% of all that I give you. You have said, I want a sacrifice from each of you. And that's different. For each of us. For some of us, a sacrifice is 2 pennies, like the woman who went to the temple with her mites. And for someone else, 10% might be a nice place to start, but they wouldn't be hurting until they gave 60% of all that you've provided them. So, Father, may we not be hoarders other than in the gleaning of the Word of God with the intent of sharing it with people who haven't heard, or to be encouragers to those who have heard and are in a terrible place at the moment. For I ask these things in the name of your Son, who are here to worship, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please remain seated as we take the